Philippians chapter 3. Book of Philippians chapter 3. We'll read the first 14 verses. It's not our intent tonight to really look at any detail in these verses. We just gather our thought from here. We've preached from these verses many times, but begin reading with verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I'd follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To continue tonight with our series of messages concerning a particular way of life, this will be the eighth message in that series. This particular way of life in Romans 8 and verse 37 is referred to as more than conquerors, and that is really the heavenly life experienced upon this earth, and therefore it is a life that is lived above the norm of the world. And as we said last week, a child of God should never be considered normal by the world. We ought to always be considered as abnormal. This life that we are to live is, of course, ought to characterize every saved individual. And it certainly is possible for every saved individual to enjoy this life on this earth. It's not only possible, but it becomes our responsibility to live this particular life. We all know that life upon earth involves infirmities. Life upon earth involves problems and difficulties and trials and many needs, many, many obstacles that stand in the way, much opposition, and plenty of enemies. You can't get through life without these things. Yet, through it all, you and I that are saved can live a life as more than conquerors. We can live a victorious life. And that's what we've been looking at the last several weeks. And no doubt, Paul led this life. And as a result, Paul was a blessing, and he was an encouragement to individual Christians, and he was a blessing and an encouragement to the churches of the Lord. And a lot of times people will say that they want to be a blessing and encouragement to others, and the way to do that is to live right. Just do what God would have you to do. Be what God would have you to be, and you'll be a blessing, and you'll be an encouragement to individuals, and you'll be a blessing and an encouragement to the Lord's churches. As we read through these verses here in Philippians chapter 3, we see several things about Paul. We see that he placed no confidence in flesh, verses 3 through 6. And if we're going to live this particular life, we must not place confidence in the flesh. We must not place confidence in the things of the world. We also see in verses 7 through verse 9 that he put things in the right place. He had a proper perspective concerning the things of the world and concerning the things of Christ. In verse 10, we see that he had a proper desire. And in verses 11 through verse 13, we see that he was always striving to be more spiritually. He was never satisfied with where he was spiritually. He was always striving to be closer to God, always striving to be what God would have him to be. In verse 12, he realized that God had a purpose for him. He said in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He realized that Christ apprehended him for a purpose. He realized that his life had a definite purpose, and it was his desire, of course, to fulfill that purpose. And then in verse 14, we see that he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he was always moving toward Jesus Christ. You will never live a victorious life. You will never live this heavenly life upon earth if you're moving away from Christ. You must always be moving toward Jesus Christ. No matter what the circumstances are in our life, no matter what the situations are in our life, our responsibility is to be moving toward Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is to be moving toward the Lord. And this is what causes God's people to be different than the world. We see, as you read these verses, it is very obvious that Paul had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening. This life that we're talking about is a life of personal relationship with the Lord. The older I get, the more I realize the importance of a relationship with the Lord. That doesn't mean that doctrine is unimportant, but what it does mean is that a relationship with the Lord, if you believe the truth, and you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord, you're going to be a miserable individual. So that if we're going to live this life that God's Word describes as an extraordinary life, there has to be a relationship with the Lord. Now, there is a vast difference between religion and a relationship. And when we say that, we are in no means downplaying religion. Because before Paul was saved, as we see here in our text in verses 5 and 6, he had a religion. He had a religion. He describes that there in verse 5 and verse 6. What is religion? Religion basically is a belief, a creed. Now, there is true religion. There is false religion. In other words, our belief or creed can be with or without scriptural basis. Our religion, our belief, our creed should have a scriptural basis. A relationship is a close association. A close association with the Lord. A relationship is contact. It is personal contact with the Lord. A relationship is to be familiar with the Lord. A relationship is to have a warm friendship with the Lord. And this friendship is developed through time. This friendship is developed through association. This friendship is developed through contact. It's just like with a human relationship. If you have no contact, your relationship is not going to develop. That's true spiritually also. We have to have contact with the Lord. There has to be time. There has to be effort. And then this friendship, this relationship is developed. A relationship speaks of a link. There is a link. There is a bond. And this link and this bond, of course, took place in salvation. But this link and bond is developed through time. We have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Now, a person can have religion. Again, even a scriptural belief concerning God. Their religion can be sound. They have a scriptural belief concerning God. They have a scriptural belief concerning the teachings of God. So a person can have that religion and still not have a personal relationship with the Lord. I guarantee you there are individuals sitting here right now that are saved, that have a scriptural religion, that is, their belief in God is based upon the scriptures. They believe the truth. But it would be a stretch to say that they had a personal relationship with the Lord. You will not live this victorious life. You can believe the truth right down the line, but you still will not live a victorious life without this personal relationship with the Lord. And certainly it is better to have a scripturally based belief or creed than to have an unscriptural belief or creed. But my point is, even a scripturally based belief or creed, even though that scripturally based belief or creed may lead to a form of godliness, may cause you to live your life a certain way, you can have a form of godliness without having a personal relationship with God. Do not confuse outward conformity with personal relationship. Now, in order to have a relationship, there has to be conformity to the Lord. But you can have an outward conformity without having a personal relationship with the Lord. And then, just what Jesus preached against in the Sermon on the Mount, what happens is your life becomes a works-based righteousness. And that can get very frustrating after a period of time. And that can become very dissatisfying over a period of time. So before salvation, Paul possessed a degree of outward compliance to the law. But he had no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. From outward appearance, he had a strict adherence to the law of God. But he had no personal relationship with Christ. He had zeal. He had a degree of outward obedience, but he had no personal relationship with Christ. So we can have a scripturally based belief system. We can have a form of godliness and still not have that personal, day-to-day association and contact and friendship with the Lord. You can have a scripturally based belief system, that is, you believe the truth, and yet never experience personally what you believe. A lot of people believe the truth, but there's a lot more people that believe the truth than personally experience the truth day by day on a consistent basis. And again, I believe it's this lack of personal experience that makes life so frustrating for so many, that makes life so unsatisfying for so many. Again, it has mystified many that why do those who profess to be saved, why are they more miserable than lost people? Why do they appear more miserable than lost people? Well, I want you to know that a knowledge of the truth without a personal relationship will make you miserable. It will make your life miserable. It will make your life very difficult, very frustrating, because you know what it should be. The world doesn't even know what it should be, but you know what it should be, and you do not achieve it. There's no relationship, and things become very frustrating. Not only do they become frustrating, it'll wear you out. You become exhausted. You become exhausted trying to live the truth that you profess you believe. So, as you read these verses, it's very apparent that after Paul was saved, he identified with Jesus Christ. And that link and that bond developed through time. So we have to have a personal relationship. Now, in salvation, God initiated a relationship. What an amazing thing that God would initiate a relationship with his enemies. That God would initiate a relationship with sinners. That's an amazing thing. And it's also an amazing thing that the creature does not initiate a relationship with the Creator. It's an amazing thing that the creature many times has no desire for a relationship with the Creator. So before salvation, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, we were without Christ, we were without God. That's just another way of saying we did not have a personal relationship with the Lord. We see in Ephesians 2, verse 13 and verse 17, that we were afar off. In other words, there was no personal relationship. And I believe there are still individuals who know some truth, but they're still afar off. They're still afar off. That relationship isn't there. But at salvation, God initiated a relationship with you and I. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were called into a life of fellowship with Christ. That's an amazing thing. That's a wonderful thing. What an opportunity. You and I that are saved were called into a life of fellowship with Jesus Christ. So what is this fellowship? Well, it's a relationship. Fellowship with the Lord involves nearness. It involves closeness. It involves a bond. So we were called into a life of fellowship. There is a nearness. There is a closeness. And this nearness and closeness is to develop through time. It is to develop through time. The longer we are saved, the nearer we ought to be to the Lord. The closer we ought to be to the Lord. Religion may know of and may know about this nearness and this closeness. And religion will even talk about a nearness and a closeness. But a relationship knows it personally. So is this nearness and closeness, is it something that we speak of? Or is it something that we experience every day? Makes a difference. Makes a difference in our life or the life that we're going to live. Fellowship with the Lord involves a receiving from God and also involves a giving unto God. In other words, fellowship is sharing. But it is daily receiving from God. It is daily receiving and experiencing personally the grace of God. Religion, scripturally based religion, can talk about grace. But a relationship personally experiences God's grace every single day. A relationship personally experiences God's direction. Personally experiences God's guidance. A religion can talk about direction. A religion can talk about God's guidance. But a relationship goes further than that. A relationship experiences. We ought to have both. We ought to have a scripturally based religion, a scripturally based belief. And this ought to lead to a close relationship. We ought to, a relationship experiences the counsel of God. That is, you personally hear God counseling you. You personally experience God consoling you. You personally experience the strength of God. You personally experience the rebuke and the correction of God. You personally experience the peace of God and the joy of God. It is experiencing these things, not just every now and then, but every day, consistently. That's a relationship with the Lord. And many want this victorious life. Who doesn't want a victorious life? Everybody wants a victorious life. Certainly you'd rather have a victorious life than a defeated life. Everyone wants a victorious life. But they do those things that cause defeat. If you want a victorious life, you have to do those things that bring victory. And one of that, of course, is a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord, of course, includes a personal knowledge and experience of God, a personal knowledge and experience of the truth. What a difference it makes. In a relationship, you read the Word of God and you're able to put yourself in the place of those Scriptures. And you can say, I know what he's talking about there. Because it's me. That's a relationship. It's just not beautiful words, but it's real. In a relationship, God is real to us. He's more than just a topic of conversation. The things of God, the truths of God are real. They're more than just a topic of conversation. You can have a scripturally based religion. And maybe all it is a topic of conversation. And you can impress people with that conversation. But you know that that's not going to get you through this life. That's not going to cause you to live a victorious life. It's going to take a relationship. So religion talks about God. And a scripturally based religion, of course, agrees with how God is presented in the Word of God, but a relationship experiences the Lord. This fellowship, of course, includes communion with God. It includes sharing in the interests of God. It involves friendship. It involves companionship. It involves closeness. It involves a togetherness with the Lord. This is a relationship. And this will lead to victorious living. It puts you and I on common ground with God. It puts us in agreement with God. It's hard to have a relationship if you're always disagreeing. There has to be agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the problem with many of God's people tonight is they are in disagreement with God. And again, if you're in disagreement with God, you're wrong. And you're never right. Again, religion talks about all these things, but a relationship experiences these things. Religion can talk about depending upon God. Religion can talk about leaning upon God. And you can go for years talking about how people ought to depend on God and how people ought to lean on God and how people ought to trust in God. But if you don't have a relationship, when the trial comes, all that talk isn't going to do you any good. In fact, it's going to make you miserable. It's going to make you miserable. Because, you know, I ought to be able to depend upon what's wrong with me. Because a relationship has not been developed. You can't just go on in life without any personal relationship with the Lord, and then all of a sudden the trial comes or something happens, and bam, you're supposed to, and immediately you go into a relationship. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We have to develop this relationship. And again, God initiated this. Notice in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, verses 19 and verse 20. Again, you and I don't know what's coming. We don't know what we're going to have to experience. But I do believe that if we have a consistent relationship with the Lord, that is preparing us for whatever that is that we have to go through. That will prepare you. In Ezekiel 11, verse 19, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." Then notice verse 20, "that..." or in order. "I'm doing these things in order that they may walk in my statutes, keep mine ordinances, and do them." And then notice what it says, "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." That's a relationship. That is a personal relationship with the Lord. So at salvation, God initiated a relationship with you and I. We have to ask ourselves, has that relationship progressed? Has that relationship progressed? Has it gotten closer? Has it grown deeper? Can we say with John, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ," there in 1 John 1 and verse 3. Can we say that? Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now in Philippians chapter 3, Paul desired, there's no doubt that Paul had a relationship with the Lord. All you have to do is read the epistles, it's very obvious. Paul was a very doctrinal preacher, presented the truth very clearly. But he also had a relationship. He had a relationship with the Lord. And that's what got him through so many of the things that he experienced in his life. But in verse 10, he says, "that I may know him." That I may know him. He desired to know him more. He desired a closer association. He desired a more personal contact with the Lord. That ought to always be our desire. No matter how much contact we have with the Lord, we ought to want more. He had a desire to even be more familiar with the Lord. He desired a warmer friendship with the one who saved his soul. Yet so many today, they spend all their efforts trying to develop a friendship with the world, which is enmity with God. And we ought to be longing for a warmer friendship with the Lord. So the possibilities that you and I have as far as a relationship with God is concerned really is limitless. A relationship with the Lord does not happen naturally. That is, the Lord saves your soul and you do nothing. From that day forward, you will not have a close relationship with the Lord in this life. It's not something that just happens naturally. It's the result of the supernatural. And therefore, it's something that is very, very special. It does not happen automatically. It will not develop through neglect. You cannot neglect it. You cannot allow it to become stagnant. It does not just happen. And it does not happen overnight. It needs depth. It needs time. And it takes effort to develop this relationship with the Lord. But I'm afraid many of God's people act as if this is going to just happen naturally. And this is just going to happen automatically. And this is going to happen overnight. It doesn't work that way. It develops through time. It takes time. It takes effort. How much effort are you willing to put forth every single day for a closer relationship with the Lord? How much effort are you willing to put forth? You know, if most couples, married couples, if they would have put forth as much effort concerning their relationship when they were dating as they do after they're married, a lot of marriages would have never taken place. It had never happened. And that's, we do that with the Lord. We just let it become stagnant. And we're not, and many times people are not willing to put in the time and take the effort that is required. Are you willing to be inconvenienced in order to have a closer and deeper relationship with the Lord? If you're going to have a relationship, again, whether it's with the Lord or with people, there are going to be inconveniences, and you have to be willing to be inconvenienced in order to develop this relationship. And that's true with the Lord. You have to be willing to be inconvenienced to have a closer relationship with the Lord. In a relationship, there must be a realization that I need this person. And in a relationship with the Lord, there has to be the realization, I need the Lord. I need Him right now. I need Him every single day. But if all you do is use the Lord as a fire escape, you'll never develop a personal relationship with the Lord. There has to be a conscious realization, I have a need of the Lord. I need the Lord today. I need the Lord right now. Everything is going fine, and I need the Lord. And when things aren't going fine, I need the Lord. Again, It's based upon personal need. Also, a relationship, of course, there is a inclusiveness. If you have a relationship with somebody, you include them in your life. If you're not willing to include them in your life, that's not a relationship.
And if you're not willing to include the Lord in your life, and many aren't, and many who have a scripturally based religion are not willing to include the Lord in their life. Oh, they're willing to give Him an hour or two on Sunday, but that's not including the Lord in your life. Including the Lord in your life, that's bringing Him into every aspect of your life. That's a relationship. That's a relationship. Relationship, of course, means commitment. All relationships involve commitment. And if there's going to be a relationship with the Lord, there has to be a commitment to the Lord. There has to be love. A relationship with the Lord requires personal separation. Notice in 2 Corinthians, very familiar passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says in verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And notice, I will receive you. I will be a father unto you." That's a relationship. "And ye shall be my sons and daughters." That's a relationship. Verse 16, he says in the latter part of the verse, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's a relationship. And it involves separation. You can't live like the world and have a relationship with the Lord. There has to be a separation. There must be a willingness, again, in any relationship. And so, relationship with the Lord as well. There must be a willingness to let go of our plans, our possessions, our position. There must be a willingness to let go of places. There must be a willingness to let go of people. When two people start a relationship, I'm talking about a man and a woman, they're willing to let go of their plans, they're willing to let go of their possessions, they're willing to let go of their position, they're willing to let go of their places, they're willing to let go of all people. They're willing to do that. Then they get married and all of a sudden they're not willing to let go anything go. And a relationship does not develop. It's true with the Lord as well. If there's going to be a relationship, there has to be a willingness to let go. As long as you insist on holding on, there'll be no relationship with the Lord. There must be no reserve. There must be nothing kept back. And we must be on guard against anything and everything that would hinder our relationship with the Lord. We need to, whatever comes into our life, we need to always be asking ourselves, is this going to move me closer to God or further away? We need to always ask ourselves that question. You say, well, it's going to move me further away, but I'll make up for it later. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to ask yourself the question, is it going to move me closer to God or further away? And if it's going to move you further away, you'd better turn around. You need to turn around. This relationship needs to be important to us, more important than anything else. So God has initiated a relationship in salvation. How long has it been? How long has it been since the Lord initiated that relationship with you? Again, how has that relationship progressed? What kind of relationship do you have with the Lord? What kind of relationship do you have with the Lord? Do you talk to Him every day? Does He talk to you every day? Do you experience His touch every day? Do you experience God personally every day? Is there a personal realization of God every day? What kind of relationship do you have? Or do you just call upon Him when you feel a felt need? Are you ashamed of Him when you're around certain people? Do you take Him with you the places you go. What kind of relationship do you have with the Lord? Another important question is, what kind of relationship do you want to have? What kind of relationship do you really want to have with the Lord? A relationship simply based upon convenience? A relationship that's just about you? What kind of relationship do you want to have with the Lord? Because you and I will not live this life that we've been talking about the last several weeks without a personal relationship with the Lord. We've got to have this. And oh, what a difference a relationship with the Lord will make. It'll anchor your life. And oh, how we ought to pursue intimacy with God. Pursue it. Pursue it wholeheartedly. An intimacy with the Lord. And in the coming weeks, we'll see how we develop this relationship with the Lord. We've already seen it's not something that just happens automatically. It has to be developed through time. And God every day does something in our life that enables us to have a relationship with Him every day. And how many opportunities we turn away. How many times we refuse to move into a closer relationship with the Lord. And these same people then want to know, why is my life like this? Why am I defeated all the time? Take a good, honest look. That's not a hard question to answer. It really isn't. You may not want to answer it, but it's really not a hard question to answer. The reasons are obvious why people live defeated lives. So God help us to have a personal relationship with the Lord, that we would experience Him every single day of our lives. Brother Tim, if you'd come.